If you're listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, November 21st. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, in for J.R. Whalen. Remember President Biden's plan to erase up to $20,000 in student loan debt? That program is in limbo while courts consider legal challenges to it. In the meantime, scammers are taking aim at confused borrowers.
So they'll get you on the phone and they'll say, okay, great, we just have to put in a few numbers for you. What's your FSA ID? What's your name? What's your address? What's your social security number? What's your date of birth? Trying to get you to share personal information that they can then use for nefarious purposes.
Today, we'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter about the scams targeting student loan borrowers and what people can do to avoid them. That's all coming up after this little break.
The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
If you hold student debt, you know, the White House plan to cancel up to $20,000 in student loans is tied up in the courts after a federal judge ruled it was unconstitutional. So borrowers will have to wait to see if they'll get some relief. But one group is not waiting: fraudsters. The Wall Street Journal's Julia Carpenter has been looking into how scammers are trying to cash in on the legal limbo. Hi, Julia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Let's start first of all, where does the student loan plan stand at the moment?
You know, I think a lot of people have that same question. People have applied. People expected to see it by some point in the future. Now, all we know for sure is that payments are set to resume January 1st.
So people who thought maybe they'd get a break, that's not happening.
And I think for many people, they haven't been paying their loan balance now or their minimum payments now for almost 2 years since the pause went into effect. So January 1st is a really scary time for them.
Okay. How are scammers trying to poke at this confusion? What are you hearing?
I talked to the Federal Trade Commission, and they've seen complaints related to student loans skyrocket. They said that they've received 76,000 complaints of scams related to student loans, and that's just through the end of October 2022. So that's 76,000 complaints so far this year. Last year, they received fewer than 50,000 complaints. So we're already seeing a lot of scams related to this.
Tell me about some of these scams.
So I spoke with one woman, her name's Samantha, and she'd received a call from an unknown number. And when she looked at the voicemail transcript, it was from a woman named Emma. And this woman was asking her to call back, saying, oh, it's urgent. We have information to finally enroll you in student debt forgiveness. So a very attractive pitch. Samantha knew this was off from the jump because she paid off her student loans years ago. But when you listen to the phone transcription, it's very compelling. You know, they're using a lot of the language that you see in the headlines. They're saying things are urgent. You need to call me back to complete your application. It's a really compelling pitch. And even though Samantha didn't fall for it, some people are.
What are the main things these scammers are after? What do they want to know?
Scams usually take two routes. So they're either trying to get your money, they're offering a service and saying, hey, just give us your credit card number and we'll fast track you. That's happening less in this case, but people are more trying to get your information. So they'll get you on the phone and they'll say, okay, great, we just have to put in a few numbers for you. What's your FSA ID? What's your name? What's your address? What's your social security number? What's your date of birth? Trying to get you to share personal information that they can then use for nefarious purposes.
Nefarious purposes. So what are people, when they get these scam pitches, what are they telling you they're doing to avoid them?
People are trying to report them to the FTC when they get them, but the most important thing the FTC says to do is to not pick up. So some people sent me voicemail transcripts where they've gotten calls from unknown numbers and callers had left voicemails trying to get them to call back. Do not call back. If you pick it up and just start talking right away, hang up, do not call back, and report it to the FTC if you can.
Is there any government authority asking people to fill in applications that they should be doing, like online or on the phone?
So you fill in your application on studentaid.gov, but something that everyone I talked to wanted to press is that there is nothing happening over the phone. You fill it out on the official website and they're not going to call you to double check. They're not going to call you to finish your application or finalize your enrollment, as this woman was saying in this call. You fill in the application and then all of your communication will be handled through email from studentaid.gov.
I took a look at studentaid.gov, and it seems like with all the legal limbo, they're no longer accepting information. What do you know about that?
Yeah, if you've already applied, they have your application. Studentaid.gov is holding it, and you can subscribe to their email updates, and then you can go back to the website to check for more. But all information that's going to be relevant to borrowers is going to be posted there or communicated via email.
So don't do it on the phone, you're saying?
Not on the phone. Not on the phone. Not with nice-sounding women named Emma.
Okay. Do we have any idea of when borrowers might get actual clarity on their loan debt relief?
Clarity is the number one thing I think everyone is seeking, borrowers and then also reporters like me trying to better understand it. So unfortunately for now, the timeline is as vague as ever.
That's the Wall Street Journal's personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Daniela Cheslow for the Wall Street Journal, in for J.R. Whalen.
I'm Paul Jugot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.